some time to explain, a Destiny lore podcast where friends come together to talk about Destiny lore. I'm Mike, my pronouns are he and him, and with me as usual is my co-host, Kit.
I'm Kit, my pronouns are he, him, or they, them, and I'm excited to talk about Destiny.
Hell yeah. So Kit, to kick off our conversation, what is your relationship and history with Destiny, the video game?
Yeah, so I started playing Destiny, the video game, Destiny 2, more accurately, about sometime in the middle of 2020, in the midst of a lot of upheaval, I turned to Destiny 2. I played for a while by myself, and then after a certain point, I started hitting content that seemed designed for multiplayer, and then joined a Discord server for it, met Mike, met some other friends, and now spend many hours a week enjoying the landscape of Destiny 2, alone and with friends.
How did you hear about Destiny 2? Like, how did you actually get into it?
I had always kind of been aware of it in the background as something, you know, something that I didn't really have time for. I had heard about it, like, on Twitter and places like that. Never really played it until I learned it was free to play, at which point I learned that just like from someone's Twitter post. Someone just said, "Oh, and did you know Destiny 2 is free?" And I said, "Oh, it is." Well, so I started, you know, I just downloaded it on Steam because it was easy to do. So I did it. And the rest is kind of history.
That's yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was not free to play for a very long time.
Yeah. So what is your, how did you start playing Destiny 1, right? Because you've been playing.
Yes, I can't, I'm not a person who could say day one alpha, although people love fucking saying that. I came in to Taken King. I had just gotten an Xbox One, a bunch of buddies all got Xbox Ones, and didn't, we had like Master Chief Collection, and we were
what
playing
Master
a lot of that.
Master Chief Collection?
That is the 343 Studios collection of the classic Halo games, Halo 1, 2, 3, 4, and 4, I think, and ODST maybe is in there. And we were playing Halo 2 multiplayer, which was, you know, a staple of growing up for me. And we wanted to play another game and didn't have any ideas. We tried Battlefield 1. This is, you know, too much of a tangent, but anyway,
fine.
So somebody in the group was that day one alpha player and said, "Let's all play Destiny." Since we were all playing Halo, which was another Bungie game, we said, "Let's try this other Bungie game, Destiny." I don't want to say that now because we're about to ask that question, but we said, "Let's all play Destiny." And at that time, it was Taken King had just come out, which was this big expansion. And so I was able to get like the combo pack where they sold, like, it was in the box as the Taken King, but it included like the previous year's worth of expansion stuff. So it had Dark Below and House of Wolves and Vanilla all in there. And I started playing that, and god damn, it feels good to shoot the gun in Destiny. And I got hooked, and the thing that specifically hooked me was that it was not very clear what the fuck was going on. And basically, any time I was running through something, I was like, "What is happening?" And somebody else in the group was the resident lore master, and was answering all these questions, and I just felt like, how the fuck are they answering all these questions? Like, where are they getting all this info? Because it sure ain't here.
Right.
And that carried me all the way through to Curse of Osiris in
wow.
Destiny 2. And then I wasn't sure if I liked Destiny anymore.
Oh, no.
That was a dark time in my Destiny history. And then that Forsaken, was the next big refresh, mm-hmm. and that totally brought me all the way back in. You know, I played Warmind and stuff. I didn't completely drop off, but mm-hmm. I definitely did not. You know, I stopped playing every day. I stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Put the controller down for a while. and Forsaken. You know, just when I thought was out, they brought
gotcha.
Me back in.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, and I have been here ever since. And a similar trajectory as you with post Forsaken of looking for a group to do things with, having been primarily a solo player for a long time, mm-hmm. and finding a Discord of people with similar values, and here we are.
Here we are. Okay, so
thanks
that's like.
Thanks for asking. That was.
Yeah.
Quite. Yeah, that's getting edited down.
There's detail. That's fine. So, okay, so we both have this, you know, time of being solo players and time of playing with other people. But we sort of gotten into the whole thing of it. But basically, Destiny is a game that I think what's interesting to me about, you know, about all that is Destiny is a game that A, seems to keep bringing you back, even when you think you've, you know, you're not interested in it anymore. They'll, you know, put out a big new package and it'll sort of bring you back in for a new expansion. I don't really have anything else to say about that.
Okay, that's fine.
I was just thinking about
that is true. Before we get too much further, we touched on it a little bit, but just so we're all on the same page with the listenership, all 10 of you, what the fuck is Destiny? What are we actually talking about here?
Yeah, it's it is a lot. So let me just take a look at one thing here. Destiny is
a video
sort
game.
Of. It's a video game. It's a video game. To be clear, it's not just our Destiny. It's
the name
it's the
of
game.
The game that we're playing.
Destiny, the game.
The
sometimes,
franchise, I guess.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh huh. Franchise, widely available, I would say, available on the PC, Xbox, and PS4, it kind of has part of the reason why, like, what the fuck is Destiny is a complicated question, is because like sometimes it feels like Destiny doesn't know what Destiny is. It comes from the lineage of of Halo, which I always think is interesting because unlike you, I don't have any background with Halo. So maybe you know more about, you know, it sounds like you were playing Halo games and then started playing Destiny.
Yeah, there was a long gap between my Halo playing and my Destiny playing. Like, played all the Halo game, you know, played Halo on Xbox, the original Xbox, had never played anything like it, was blown away by it. Halo 2 came out, was like this big event. Like, people, you know, friends were going out at midnight to get it.
wow.
Back when that was still a thing. vividly remember the shock and horror at the end of Halo 2. Halo 3. You know, then it was a couple years until maybe more than a couple, a few, it was 3 or more years until Halo 3 came out, and that was a huge event. And I by that point I vividly remember looking in the manual, the instruction manual.
Oh wow.
For it was either Halo 1 or 2. I can't remember which one exactly, but I remember looking in the manual, and this will kind of come around later.
Mm-hmm.
All of the enemy descriptions in the manual were incredibly interesting, and none of that was in the game. and I remember
right.
getting hooked and being like, oh, there's a whole Halo universe here that the writers have expanded on in this supplementary material. And by the time Halo 3 came out, I wasn't reading all the ancillary, I wasn't reading the novels and the comics and all that stuff, but I was very invested in the Halo universe.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time Halo 3 came out, I was an adult by that point, so it wasn't like, I never had the console myself, so I was always playing at friends' houses, or going to, they had those things where you could, like, go rent time on a console.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was away from those kind of things, so I couldn't actually play it myself.
Mm-hmm.
And, so, like, I didn't get into Halo 4 and Halo 5 and ODST and mm-hmm. Reach, I guess, would be the other one.
Mm-hmm.
The last Bungie one was Reach.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, by that point, I had already... I was, like, too far removed from it, where I couldn't play it myself. So then a long time goes by. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
10 years?
Okay.
Something, mm-hmm. you know, 9 years, 8 years, something, you know, in that, something mm-hmm. in that range. And then, the big, you know, the Xbox One is coming out, the Master Chief Collection is coming out, where they're remastering these games and making them, putting them back online for everyone to play together,
mm-hmm.
To varying levels of success. You know, that was like a complete clusterfuck at launch,
yeah.
but... famously, infamously. but that is when I came back to it.
Okay.
So it wasn't like...
It wasn't like right from one to the other.
Definitely not. No.
But it's been a very long-term thing then, instead. A long-term love affair with the guns what shoot good. because... Destiny is as much as it is, I think they call it a schluter now. I think that's the official term.
Oh.
I've heard. A looter shooter.
Looter shooter.
A
stab
which,
and grabber.
A stab and grabber, which just sort of, you know, is an attempt to tie in kind of the two, you know, main activities you do in Destiny, the shooting and the looting.
Describe,
the shooting.
Describe loot. What do you mean by looting?
So, Destiny has some RPG elements. You know, you go out, you kill the big alien. It's set in, you know, a future universe, which, you know, we'll get into in more detail later. But it basically has... A lot of elements of first-person shooter games. The gameplay is, you know, aim down sights, first-person shooting, you know, similar to what you might see in a Halo game or anything. You know, I don't know. I don't play a lot of shooters, to be honest. I'm not a big FPS person, but that's okay in Destiny because you have this whole second, you know... layer or of collecting the loot. So you go out, you complete an activity in Destiny, and you get, a bunch of drops of, different armor, different weapons, things like that. A lot of different weapons. A huge part of Destiny is, the first part is shooting, the second part is looting. Shooting is shooting the guns, looting is getting the good guns to shoot with, I guess, would be the way to put it. So
Got it.
there are RPG elements in Destiny. There are elements of, upgrading your armor, getting better gear, getting weapons that, primarily guns, although there are also swords and other assorted things in Destiny, but getting better versions of those through the shooter gameplay. So there's some, there's some level of inventory management. There are different currencies that you manage to turn in to get upgrades to different things. But all of that is sort of worth mentioning because, we talked about how Destiny is a game, or that kind of brings you back in, or one of the sort of core loops of it is getting, better gear from doing the content and then going out and using that to get better gear. So it's kind of a treadmill. That is the source of the good brain feeling, the make the number go up feeling. All of the gear in Destiny is tagged with a power level, which is just a numerical value that you assign to it that sort of roughly tells you how good it is. There are all different characteristics that your gear can have, but in general, one of the big appealing things about it is that through doing th through going through this process of doing playing the game, it gives you all these activities where you shoot the dudes, shoot shoot aliens, I guess. It's kind of awful, honestly. Destiny has a long history of putting alien races in front of you to be targets, and then, kind of expand, like not giving you great reasons for why, at least in the game. But as you go through this and basically just continue to get more and more powerful by obtaining these different gear upgrades. And you have, an overall score that goes up. And that is, the overall score representing your power, your power, which basically translates into kind of how much time you spent doing these activities. So that is a big part of the appeal of the game, I think, for me, is this kind of like meta treadmill that's going, that you're sort of constantly trying to improve your score, on this scale that they've created for you, and that is sat it's just satisfying. So I think, that's a big part of the structure of Destiny 2 is, activities that you're doing in order to increase this overall score, which is kind of the motivating factor for a lot of people.
I think you touched on something there that is going to get to the heart of why we are here making this podcast, which is I am presented the main way that I interact with this world, this game universe, is through shooting things, or using a weapon. And what we want, what our interest is the reason why we are doing that. Why our character is out there shooting things, and what things are we shooting, and where are they being shot? What are the locations in which these encounters occur?
Their heads.
Well, yeah,
But
the setting,
the environments, yes, the setting,
yes,
yeah.
yes. So that is what we mean when we say Destiny lore, is the context, the background, the stage upon which all these events are occurring. You as you move through the game, one could definitely interact with the game and click through all of the text and that instructs you what you're doing in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You have objective markers that point you to the next thing that you need to go shoot. But that does not mean that you would have an understanding of the world that you're interacting with and why you're going to shoot the thing.
Right.
And so the lore is providing that context. So that's what we mean when we're talking about Destiny lore. The reason, let me open it up to you. Do you have anything to add to that description?
No, that's about right to me.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of times there is a lot more context that has been made sort of by the writers that isn't obvious. So that's why, that's not, you know, as you were saying, it's like the objective will say, go here and shoot this. The objective doesn't necessarily say, because X, Y, or Z happened that led us to this point. Yeah. Famously, the context that lore has been extremely inaccessible. If you want to talk a little bit about your Destiny 1 lore experiences, the lore cards and the grimoire and what all that was.
Sure. Yeah. So the where is this lore? Where do I go to understand this context? Has been a roller coaster ride of an answer through the franchise so far. You might be asking, okay, where do I go? What is this lore? I understand what you're talking about now, but where is it? How do I interact with it? As it stands today, this is on item descriptions. So if I go and look at a piece of my gear, there might be a quote from a character or a line of text about the piece of gear that I'm looking at, or the history of that piece of gear, or some piece of world building that is maybe a sentence or two. There are also lore tabs, which I might press a button on my keyboard and a little window opens up that tells me a little story, a passage, a couple paragraphs that have similar world building text on them. Now there are also lore books in the game, which some of which are literally the length of a novel, that cover a wide range of topics and characters and subjects and cultures of the Destiny universe, and those continue to grow. And I would also lump in voice lines and dialogue and mission descriptions and quest steps that sometimes have this information on them as well. And so those are kind of all the places that you... there are also NPCs in the world that have, while they're standing around waiting for you to talk to them, they also have dialogue, and some of that can also tell, there are people walking around the social spaces, NPCs, and all of that world building I would also lump in there.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where we're at today, but that answer was not always so easy. when the game started out, and I didn't come in at this point, but when the game started out, it was in rough shape. You could read about it in a book by Jason Schreier called Blood, Sweat, and Pixels. Mm-hmm. That the production behind the scenes
left a lot to be desired.
Yeah, it was a tumultuous time in original Destiny's release. Through various circumstances, the original story that was created was completely scrapped and rewritten in like the 6 months prior to this game coming out. So it was a hot mess.
Wow.
And that presented kind of an opportunity because, oh boy, was there a lot to fill in. you know, there were some interesting threads to be pulled, but with what they had left, those had yet to be written. So, basically over the whole rest of the life of the franchise up to this point, has been filling in all those gaps. If you were to have started playing back then, and even when I came in three expansions later, the main way that you would... let me say this. There was nothing in the game to point you to any of that material.
Really?
It did exist. So, if I was going to do a mission and I got to shoot some robots, mm-hmm. I might get a little pop-up on my screen that said, "Hey, your Grimoire score went up by 10 points. If you want to learn about what that is, go to this website." And it's like, what the hell is that?
So stop playing the game, open up a website.
Right, yeah. Walk away from your console and go to this website. Hopefully you wrote it down because it's only going to be in this pop-up for 2 seconds. And then you could see all of these... They were called Grimoire cards, and you had your little collection there on this website, and you could click around to the different cards and see which ones you had unlocked, and they would have text on them describing whatever the thing was. So it might say, here's a cryptic description vaguely connected to these robots you're shooting.
Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like you could go on and it would say, "Here's who these robots are." It was still a cryptic line or two.
Yes.
Like, even after you went through all that work, it was still like a drip.
100%. Yeah.
Okay.
Was not, you were not getting filled in on the background and motivations of these robots. It was completely up to your own interpretation. Some of them were numbered so that you might try to put them into a certain order. But those came out over months and years through the whole life of Destiny 1.
Right.
So none of that. Eventually, those started becoming more and more robust as people became more and more interested. But initially, if I wanted to read about that stuff, there was nowhere that I could do it in the game itself. I had to go to this extra website and try to look it up. And that's where fan projects to try to archive all of this and connect it all started popping up. Because if you were like me and you were going through these missions and going like, "How the hell does my buddy know the answers to these things?" The answer was that he was either going to this Grimoire site to read through the cards and come up with his own conclusions, Or he was going to these fan-made archives, or the burgeoning YouTube category of Destiny lore masters
Right.
making explainer videos connecting from having connected threads themselves and speculating and coming up with their own answers, because none of that was in the game. And it wasn't until so that was Destiny 1. When Destiny 2 came out, all of that grimoire website and the cards and the system that Destiny 1 had for all that were completely scrapped and thrown out. And not just for Destiny 2, they shut down the site completely. It's gone now. It doesn't exist. So even if I'm playing Destiny 1, I could still go. Destiny 1 is still alive. You could still go and play it right now if you wanted to. And you could get grimoire cards, and you could get a grimoire score. You could unlock these text passages, but you cannot go and look at them anywhere.
Oh,
Yeah.
good.
Yeah. So that's where these fan-made archives, the biggest one is probably the Ishtar Collective, which is
Yeah,
named
which is.
after a Destiny thing.
Ishtar-collective.net.
Thank you.
Yep. I got it open. It's always open on my computer.
Oh, nice, nice. Yeah, so that's where that came in handy, because now that is the central place that all those things are archived. Otherwise, they would be completely gone. And that obviously was not taken very well.
Understandably, right? I mean, if you were a person who was invested in this, I could see, it's understandable that you would be upset.
Yes. And I know there are a lot of people who do rely on somebody else giving them the information, which I think is really fun. That's not how I enjoy it, so I was definitely upset about losing that resource. And the other thing is, it was signaling that Bungie did not consider it a priority.
Right.
Bungie was not committed to the world building and the universe building that had become so important to the people that were interested in it. Like someone like me, who basically my main draw to come to Destiny franchise is for the lore, and the creators of the franchise just threw it all away.
Right.
So that was upsetting. So then a few more things happened which were upsetting, which was one of the creative directors, Luke Smith, had a quote where he said, because people were asking about this, and so he said, "Well, Destiny 1, that was all like issue zero of a comic book. It's cool, but it's unnecessary. So all the things that you invested in and learned and cared about, they happened, but we're not so interested in that. It's not gonna have anything to do with Destiny 2. We're doing something else now."
Oh.
And that was quite shocking.
Yeah. Yes. Very much so.
Especially with a big tonal shift coming into Destiny 2.
Well, that's interesting.
There's the universe of the Destiny franchise could certainly be considered grimdark, in that there's very little hope. You're fighting against insurmountable odds. Humanity's on the verge of extinction. There are you're in dire straits. And while there were characters in that Destiny 1 and certain storylines that provided these glimmers of hope or comedy relief from the exhausting oppressiveness, or sometimes they would poke fun at the way that people and the community ended up interacting with the game. For example, there are emotes that you can do where your character dances around and does goofy, silly things, and they would, here and there, they would pepper that in. That the way the community would react to things made it into the lore cards to make them in-universe characterizations, and those things were there, but they were certainly not the prevalent.
Not the
They
prevalent
weren't.
mood or tone.
Right,
Yeah.
correct. So Destiny 2 came around, and the events of the game are world-shattering and consistent with the tone of the events of the first game. But the dialogue, the characters that you interact with, the voice lines that you hear all became this jokey, jovial, sarcastic, ironic tone that no longer had the weight of I am going to stop this world-ending event, it's all on my shoulders, the odds are stacked against me, I'm succeeding against this hopeless situation, and now it was like jokey comedy hour for almost every character. Now it wasn't just the characters that were specifically there for comedy relief. Now that was every character. And this also carried over into at that time they start like Curse of Osiris was like the first expansion for Destiny 2. And that continued into some of those characters, some of which had been storied in the lore of Destiny 1 as these legendary heroes, and I guess there could be something to that, but the expectations of the players and what we were provided with did not match up. And so that is where this big shift happened, where I think the community at large who was interested in lore was kind of like, yeah, I don't, this isn't what I can, what I'm here for.
Yeah. Right.
And through feedback that was given, then that sort of went into this big Forsaken expansion, and they recommitted to the Destiny lore community, and that is when we got I don't know if I failed to mention this, but through all that time, the website is dead.
Right.
There's no grimoire cards. There's no item. There's flavor text on the items, so there's a sentence or two on some items, but there's still nowhere for me to go and learn more about this universe other than the scant mission dialogue I'm provided as I go through the campaign.
Right.
So, I mean, this is another year goes by of this situation.
Jeez.
And this big expansion, Forsaken, now they've recommitted. We're gonna have lore books. They're gonna be in the game. You could read them in the game. There's a separate tab for them in your
Wonder of
menu.
wonders, you put it in the game.
Yes.
You don't have to get away, walk away from your TV or your computer to go look it up.
Right.
Wonder of
There are
wonders.
yes. And that may finally made it a focus for somebody that is just playing the game, that they also might have context for why they are shooting the robots. They could go and make their own conclusions and not have to have somebody read it to them in a YouTube video who had gone and done all this work on the side. So that's kind of the roller coaster of where do I go to get this damn lore? Why am I shooting these robots?
Why am I shooting these robots? The eternal question in Destiny 2. Thank you for that. That was a really good explanation.
Oh, thank you. I talked a lot.
No, I really enjoyed it. It was really helpful background for why, why there is such a cottage industry of like YouTube videos and, it's not easily accessible. I'm really glad that by the time I started playing Destiny, it was, this lore, this information was more easily accessible because I very much enjoy, like you were talking about, drawing those conclusions and, figuring things out somewhat on my own. And having that opportunity to do that has been really fun for me, has allowed me to like participate in this world in, a way that I wasn't expecting to. So that's kind of it's, but it's I'm glad that by the time I started playing Destiny, they had stopped doing this like this multi-step, go to a website to find the lore. Although that is, that is part of what's appealing about Destiny lore is that it's kind of piecemeal and that it's kind of extra and that, there are some people to whom that really appeals to put in that extra work and, now that you can actually do it, I mean, the fact that, I mean, leaving aside kind of like the archival issues with, this company deciding, making the decision to stop to just essentially take down their website where all this information was living because it wasn't, a priority to them. Leaving aside that that is kind of a big problem if you're trying to, find what you're looking for in terms of lore. I think that that it's finally in the, finally possible to do that. To it seems to me as though, putting it on the separate website, what they did want players to have that feeling of discovery. They did want players to have that feeling of putting things together, but it was so kind of badly executed, or not badly executed, because I don't know. I didn't make the game, but it was so such a, difficult and, contentious thing, a roller coaster of a thing, like you were saying, that, people weren't really able to dig into it, who maybe would have been interested in doing so. Which is, which is appealing, I think. Like I've never watched a lore explainer video or anything like that. And I think I still have a pretty good grasp of what's going on and the motivations of the different characters we're running into. But I've been able to do that, through the lore tab in the game and through, this website like Ish, the websites like Ishtar Collective and places like that that have made it possible for me to have that experience of putting things together and looking at, looking at little pieces of lore and trying to figure out how they all connect to, a larger story. Like I could see that. I think that that is a feeling that they've gotten better at, or a mode of play that Bungie has improved at, allowing the player to occupy. But you can see how it became the kind of thing where, it was so hard to get at for a while. For a while, it seemed, like they were doing. Bungie was not so invested in the player having that feeling, or they were, but they couldn't, I mean, they weren't quite sure how to do it. It seems like to me, putting it all in a separate website. I'm glad I got here later than that. I really am, because I love to do that. I love to pull, to read the sentences and read the cards and try and figure out what's going on. But it would have been impossible for me, it sounds like, in earlier versions of the game.
They've definitely done a really good job of, like you said, improving that experience. Characters in the game now reference events in the lore. They talk about the state of the world. They interact with each other, and that was definitely not part of how it used to be. I think it's cool that they've still retained that aspect of being able to piece things together for yourself, and not everything is concretely answered, where you could have a discussion with somebody else, and much like we are attempting to do, and have that water cooler talk of what do you think's going to happen? What do you think about this character? Did you read this story? What do you think about that? And both come to your own conclusions and have that conversation. I think they've done a good job of putting that, like you said, putting that in the game, having the characters in the game acknowledge it. And I guess what I'm trying to say is they don't feel like two separate things anymore. The game finally feels like the character, or at least it's I still to a certain extent don't feel like it's quite there yet, but it's so leaps and bounds better about these characters actually feeling like they inhabit the world, and they know the events of the world. They know what I know, to a certain extent. Whereas before, those two things felt completely separate.
Yeah,
Some
definitely.
of, yeah, some of what you're saying about, I've also fallen off of the YouTube explainers and, the archival sites to a certain extent, because there are some, as I get deep, those were necessities at a certain point in time where there were so many steps in between getting to the actual information that it was much quicker to just have somebody have already done that work for me. And then I started getting it, the dangers of that is that you are listening to a certain extent to that person's speculation and drawing their own conclusions.
Yeah, and
And so.
it's often not marked as that too. Like, it's often marked as though this isn't the cre you know creators presenting it as if it is their whole their understanding is sort of canon, so to speak, or is the one. Like, they don't tell you like where they're deviating from. Like, if you watch a YouTube video, they don't tell you like where they're deviating from. Here is as written, and here is what I think. Oh, this is actually this, that, and the other. Is often not delineated as a creator speculating, which makes it less fun, in my opinion, because then you don't get to talk about your speculation with other people.
Yeah, I think we both, that's something that we both have fun doing, is drawing those conclusions and talking about our theories. And I definitely have been careful when I'm trying to explain something to somebody of saying, making it clear that I might not know this thing for sure. That this is my take on it. We assume this. That same website, Ishtar, they do something I really like about them is that they, when they create these entries, they assign them a value of, I want to say authentication, but that might not be the word. Mm-hmm. Certainty, I don't know. And I think that's something good to keep in mind, because you might listen to an explainer and get the wrong idea about something and take it as gospel, and like you said, it's not not clearly marked as assumption or interpretation or speculation, and yeah, that kind of takes some of the fun out of it for me. And I stopped watching those then, because the other thing that they started to do is put that stamp on it and say this is the defining authority, and they started to balloon out to 3 or 4 hours, and I just think that turns me off, because I want more people to talk about the lore with, because that's the fun that I get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of presentation turns a lot of people off.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, to even start to have this conversation, I have to watch a 4-hour video that like it's that dense that somebody needs to spend a college lecture's length of time explaining it to me. No, thank you.
Yeah.
And I think that actually does a detriment to people that are interested in getting into it. I think Bungie themselves have some work to do getting people into their game universe. But I also think that the 4-hour videos, you know, those creators are well-intentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I have nothing against them personally. I just don't personally believe that is the way to get people into the universe.
Yeah. It creates a sense that in order to enjoy it, you have to invest that much time, and people who, you know, we're all busy and people don't have that much time, and that might sort of dissuade you from, you know, from getting into it. Yeah. It's also, I could see, you know, if you don't have people to play with, I think a big way that Destiny lore gets shared is, a lot of Destiny content is multiplayer. Some of that is easier to do with voice. And so a lot of times, you know, if you're on a voice call with folks and you can say, what are we doing here? And they might know and they can explain it to you. If you're not regularly, you know, if you're not regularly doing that, you don't necessarily have access to that either. And so it might be more appealing to, you know, to go watch a video. And yeah, I too have nothing against YouTube creators. I don't learn very well in video format is part of it. So I felt like I wasn't retaining anything, you know, from, in order for me to have any sense of what was happening, I had to go and read it, and I can't be the only person who's like that, you know?
Yeah, I definitely, on the flip side, I enjoy being that person
mm-hmm.
who, when we are doing an activity and someone is like, what's the deal with these guys? I can attempt to answer that question. Because the other part of it, back from playing D1 and playing with a bunch of people that may not have necessarily been invested in a space opera,
mm-hmm.
but really like that shooting the gun feels good,
mm-hmm.
The less, at least in my experience, the less that those people understood why they were shooting the gun, the less they wanted to keep playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so I part of it was out of my own interest, and that's that I have fun being that person that the people ask, and I get enjoyment out of that. But the other part of it was, if I don't answer these questions, they're going to leave and I'm not going to have anyone to play with.
Right. Right.
So I need to know what's going on, because if they ask me something and I don't know why, I'm going to be on my own here very quickly.
Right. Right.
And even though that happened anyway, that was a big driving factor for me getting into this stuff, was was like, we're going to kill Oryx. Who the fuck is Oryx?
Right. Right.
And if all of us are looking around shrugging our shoulders like, well, then what the fuck are we doing here?
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, like,
And the other part, the other kind of danger of the fan work is that they are also sort of beholden to the support structure, the way the game works, and the way the YouTube algorithm works. So something that's happened frequently is, like, they're just playing the game. But by that, I mean, if I'm a YouTube creator and I get my income based off of the YouTube algorithm, I need to have the most clickbait head graphic and title possible. So I'm going to make some wild claims, and maybe even put some spoilers into my graphics or titles to get the clicks. And that stops being fun for me, who gets a lot of enjoyment out of making up, drawing my own conclusions. And kind of what we were saying before about, like, I can't look at the thumbnail and they're not going to put asterisk, this is all assumptions and speculation based on my research. This, they're just putting, you know, whatever the big item is right in the title. And so that started to really drive me away from it, because it's like, I want to come to my own answer and then talk about that. I don't really want somebody giving me the answer. I know people do enjoy that. I personally do not enjoy that. Mm-hmm. And the other part of it is, these archival sites or these fan-created sites work based, a lot of that work is based on the background construction of how the game is built. So, like, a new update for the game comes out, all those files are getting released. So these sites, not that I really understand how this works, but they comb these files and they pull them from wherever they're housed, and then they make them public facing on their website. Mm-hmm. And part of the danger of doing independent research, which is something I enjoy doing, can sometimes lead you into dangerous territory where this piece of information that was meant to be something you uncovered 6 months from now through the course of playing the game is accessible to you on day one to anybody.
Right.
So part of, you know, going spelunking for answers, I would caution everybody to be aware that if you're going to a site like Ishtar, as much as I love them and they provide a very valuable service, it is, you do need to proceed with caution.
Yes. Yes, there is the potential for you to, without realizing it, to spoil yourself on something that was meant to be a mystery for the next 6 months, because they do, like, right here, I'm looking at their website now, and, you know, the update from February 9th when this new season began is 495 new documents added on this website. And that is the data mine stuff that Mike was just talking about, all presented in one big hunk and update. But that is kind of the content that's meant to sustain you for 3 months of playing this game. You know, 3 months to a season is kind of the, that's, you know, a lot of that is going to roll out over time. And so if you just think, oh, I'm going to go and, you know, wow, look at that, 495, that's almost 500. That's a big number of things. If I read some of that, I can get a sense of what's going on, you know, this season. You could kind of easily fall into a pitfall of taking, you know, some of the fun out of it. So there's a little bit of a you know, similar to, it's not really marked separately. And I think I definitely had that moment where I was glad that you cautioned me when you first told me about this website, which I didn't know about because it's a fan-made website. It's not, the game does not officially refer you to it, that you said, watch out for this, because otherwise I would have, you know, if you are someone who's interested enough in the lore to want to understand it, you know, and maybe there are some people who like to just get all the answers right away, and, you know,
Yes.
I don't want to yuck anyone's yums if that's you, if you really like to read all this stuff and know what's going on. But you are right that it, you know, the YouTube creators are kind of financially incentivized to present all of that, you know, present to you the newest, the newest information, the, you know, here's everything that we know, you know, including
right.
things that aren't, you know, not that we're not meant to know them yet exactly. I'm sure that the creators of Destiny are aware that people do this. But, yeah.
Yeah, and they have taken some steps to attempt to guard against some of that, where they make it invisible to whatever programs run to comb through the files, but it's not foolproof, of course. Mm-hmm. That's not always going to work like that. And like you said, there are people that just read the lore and they don't play the game for one reason or another.
Wait, there are?
There are.
Whoa.
Believe it or not.
Whoa.
And that's totally valid to me. That's just not what I personally enjoy. And so those are kind of those are like the pitfalls that are out there if you're someone like me doesn't want to see those things until they're in the game. I guess that would be something worth mentioning, is that a lot of what we'll be talking about are things that we've been able on this podcast. Like, we're not going to be talking about stuff that might be available out there, but we might not have access to it in the game until 3 months from now,
mm-hmm.
potentially.
Right.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but we're both people that enjoy uncovering things as they become available
oh,
to
yes.
us in the game.
Yes.
Yeah. And so we won't be, you know, at least as of this point in time, we won't be talking about anything that is unavailable
right.
to anyone who is playing the game in real time.
Right. Yes. We are not going to do that, you know, huge update on everything that we expect for the next few months. You know, it's kind of fun to get a glimpse of it once in a while. but we're, you know, if you're worried, if you're, you know, out there worrying about, you know, that, you know, you're going to get spoiled for the rest of the season, don't worry. it's not, you know, we're sort of not here to go through all of that, you know, everything new that's coming out. I'm sort of, I think both of us are more interested in trying to, you know, give our thoughts and perspectives, whatever those are worth. You can take them or leave them, but at the very least talking to each other about, you know, what we think might be coming next, what we think, you know, how we got where we are in the game. But it's, you know, as far as spoilers are concerned, it's a little tough because of, and this is something I don't want to talk about now, but we can talk about in the future, that, you know, Destiny, kind of multiple time states exist in Destiny 2, the video game, simultaneously. Like, the expansions are supposed to come out in real time, sort of. So, you know, each a year of real lifetime equals a year of in-game time for the present. So it's a little hard to, sometimes it's hard to, you know, to talk about something that happened in, like, Forsaken, because it's like, you know, there exist sort of multiple moments of time simultaneously in the game. So spoilers are a little bit tricky. But
yeah, that's a good point. Like, yeah. If you are just coming into the game now, and especially because of the way that it's a video game where there are expansions made to make money on top of this free-to-play version, you might not have the Forsaken expansion.
Right.
So you might... That might be something that you're looking forward to playing and learning about, whereas we're coming from a place of... We're caught up to the current content. We don't know what comes next, but we know everything that's come before.
Right.
And so... what we talk about would spoil anything up to we're at the season 13,
I
right?
Think so, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
13. So season of the Chosen. So that's where we're at now. So as we go forward, just be aware of that, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I was getting at was, you know, we'll sort of discuss everything that has happened up to that point, but not, you know, with an eye to not spoiling, you know, what will be happening in Season of the Chosen and beyond definitively. If we accidentally right. happen to get the whole theory of Destiny right, we're geniuses. And that's it. And sorry, not sorry. But
yeah, yeah. Like least... we don't. Yeah, like that's what I'm trying. Yeah, exactly. Like I'm not reading ahead, right. So I don't actually know what's coming next. There are people out there who do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not one of those people.
Right. Me too.
So anything that we do speculate on, you know, yeah, if we get it right. Please make the check payable to Mike and Kate.
Yeah, I'm waiting. you know, but if so that's, you know, that's just a note about spoilers and lore, and our intention
note.
To not be, you know, not create that, you know, the spoiler that ruins the game for you.
yeah, that's, you know? A good point. Setting expectations.
Mm-hmm. So
yes, that's a very good point.
So that's the background. That's pretty, I mean, there's always more to talk about.
Yeah, and I think the format of the podcast will probably evolve as we go on.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to spend this time setting the stage, making sure everyone's on the same page. A third thing that rhymes with age. So that'll probably be part of it, is talking about a topic or talking about some pulling a thread that we might be interested in or something that we found
mm-hmm.
in the game that we want to talk about. And then the other thing we want to do is have some question time.
Yeah.
Whether that be Kit and I asking each other questions or whether that be the audience, all 10 of you, writing in some of your questions that you might have and attempting to answer them to kind of further that discussion. So that will be the other part of this podcast, will be questions and answers.
Yes. Yeah. So
do we have any of those today?
Wow. Good question. Do I have anything? I have nothing burning at the moment.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah, currently I've just been... Thank God! Nothing
but
is
do you
currently
have any
on
questions?
Fire. If anything is currently on fire in your heart and mind, re-Destiny 2, Let us know. But currently, I don't have a question yet, but I will say that today what I've been doing is digging into some of the in-game, accessible in-game lore on the Season of the Chosen gear and some of that stuff. So my current research is my current research as a member of the Ishtar Collective. I'm learning about the Cabal.
It's relevant to be looking up the Cabal because
Yes.
the big Cabal fleet has shown up, and what do they want, and why are they here, and what is the deal with Keitel, and what is the state of the Cabal, and what is the deal with the Cabal?
Yeah, we'll talk about it all more in the future for sure. Like we'll do a proper nouns, names and descript and descriptions, but essentially, the current the currently in Destiny 2, one of the alien races that we've been shooting has arrived in force, and there are previous factions of that race that we've encountered, but this is our first time. We're encountering a lot of stuff about them. Maybe not for the first time, but encountering, a new faction of them, a new group of them, and a powerful new leader that we are, we as the players, we as the player, that we play the race of or the group of guardians, these people tasked with defending humanity. All of it we'll get into later, but that is currently we're in a moment of where I feel like we're in a moment of we've seen on screen in the game these these characters, this new faction of of this race with a new leader. And now what I have been doing is doing exactly what we've been talking about, looking at the written lore, looking at the context for this person and this army showing up and trying to tie that together with things, other things we know in the game, the past and other, other groups within this alien empire. So more on all that in the future. But yeah, that that'll more on that in the future. I'm excited to talk to you about it once I have a little more, a little more cabal, stuff under my belt.
Definitely.
So that's, that's the history, that's the background. I don't really know how to end a podcast.
I don't think anyone does, so don't worry about
And scene.
it.
But that is, those are, that's the plan. I mean, those are the intentions going forward. So hopefully you got something out of this. I got a lot out of this. Thank you, Mike, for always bringing having the history and the experience on hand. Yeah.
Yeah,
That's
thank you for joining me, Kit. I think we obviously have, if it wasn't clear from what we've been talking about, we're coming at this from two different two different experiences, two different perspectives, and I hope it's interesting to listen to.
Yeah. If it's not, oh
Yeah, we're gonna do it
well. That's right.
anyway.
That's what it's all about, baby. Well, thank you for spending this time.
Yes, and to the audience, I hope you will join us here next time on Sometime to Explain.
Bye.
What's in it? Oh, I don't know. Just some weird shit.